Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead.
Amen. Amen.
Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Our Father, who art in heaven, gave a great supper. He invited a multitude from the east and the west, and he has been sending his servants to proclaim this invitation ever since he himself instituted the office of the holy ministry. He makes every effort to fill his house, bringing his invitation to the highways, the hedges, and the highest places of the city. He is not content with excuses, for he is a jealous God. He responds to the words of rejection, "I cannot come," by sending the invitation again and again and again. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile, to the rich, to the workers, to the newly married, to the poor, maimed, lame, and blind. It's how he answers the prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The prayer of fear, love, and trust that our Father would certainly let his kingdom come, that he would keep us firm in his word and faith until we die. There is always room for another sinner in our Father's house. Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Such scripture is profitable, first, for our consolation, and second, for our instruction in righteousness. First, the doctrine of election is pure gospel, that the Lord's servant proclaims, "Master, it is done as you commanded," and still there is room. The blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ is offered to all. It is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Our Father makes every effort that you would hear his justifying word preached, his absolution given. He gives you bread in the kingdom of God. Yet, some reject the invitation once, twice, and constantly. It is not our Father that prohibits them, but the disbelieving heart that hardens itself in its own excuses and imagination. Such an attitude that despises preaching and God's word is something more familiar to us than you might think. I have bought, maybe not a piece of land, but I have bought a timeshare in my cabin up north. I cannot come to church. Or perhaps I have married a wife and our children are noisy and obnoxious and we are not in control of them, so we cannot go to Bible study. Such excuses are for fools who only reject right teaching with more scorn and hatred. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Likewise, nobody is surprised that scoffers will give peaceful protests at the overturn of Roe v. Wade. They do not care for wisdom, for they lack reverence, for they lack fear of the Lord. But for those who hear the wisdom of God and come to eat and drink at wisdom's furnished table, let there be no doubt or concern in your mind. Our Father in heaven commands and welcomes you to taste his supper, and he will not stop offering you the invitation of his Son. When you come to wisdom's furnished table, you know that you are the elect in Christ. And second, this scripture is useful for our instruction in righteousness. Jesus, who is the wisdom of God incarnate, does not become snide or hateful at such fools. No, listen to the proverb again. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, wisdom says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Wisdom does not scorn or scoff or hate, but calls to repentance. Wisdom offers the fool bread and wine. Wisdom does not accept excuses, nor does wisdom listen to them. The wisdom of God, made flesh, waits eagerly for the fool's turning away from sin, hoping and praying that he would receive the fear of the Lord, that through our Father's servant, the fool might receive the word of absolution. Dear Christians, it is not right that we scorn and scoff at this woke generation, and in so doing, we allow them to easily reject the invitation to wisdom's furnished table. When we allow our friends, neighbors, and family to flounder in the sinful imagination of their hearts, we are making our own excuses regarding the Father's invitation. Wisdom built her house, slaughtered her meat, and mixed her wine for all fools, for you and for your neighbor, for your family, for anyone who you are scoffing at. There's no pretending that you didn't get the invitation, and there's no pretending that your neighbor didn't get it either. The current claims that Christians are hateful. Yet, if we do not seek wisdom's furnished table for ourselves and for our neighbor, maybe we are. For St. John writes in his epistle, but whoever has this world's goods, the greatest good, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Christ loved the world in word and tongue and in deed and truth, and the world hated him. And so do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. They will. They lack the beginning of wisdom and do not possess knowledge of the Holy One. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him will be condemned. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to you, come, for all things are now ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.